What's up, family? You are tuned into Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. From KPFA Radio and the Pacifica Network, I'm your host, Kat Brooks.
Turning our attention now to the Bay Area, where as one man imagine, multiple coalitions and groups are preparing for what some believe is an imminent invasion by the Trump administration. Joining me to discuss is Jane Martin, Organizing Director of Bay Rising, a regional coalition of community organizations and labor in the San Francisco Bay Area that works to build political power among working class communities and communities of color. Good morning, Jane.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining. Hey, it's early. I don't know how much coffee you've had. I'm barely making it with this one cup. So, and you're a busy human. So, Trump has said again. I'm just going to jump right in because we're a little bit short on time. Forgive me, I'm running late, but we'll have more time to talk. Trump has said again, as of yesterday, he's coming to San Francisco. Unlike, and some of this reflects some of the conversations you and I have had offline, unlike Portland, Los Angeles, Chicago, San Francisco has not been a beacon of progressive values for quite some time, right? It's sort of been the canary in the coal mine for those of us on the other side of the bridge about what's going to happen if we don't stop the billionaire grab for our cities and attack on our people. And nor is Lurie a black mayor. Right. So that sort of throws all of the other things out of the window. From your perspective, your perch, what do you think is actually behind the targeting of San Francisco?
Well, if you look at what Trump's saying, you know, he's sort of out of date. You know, San Francisco historically has been a beacon of progressive values, and that's what he's talking about. And then you have his friend, Mark Benioff from Salesforce, urging him to send the National Guard, right?
Well, he was.
Right. So now he's made this half-hearted apology, even though still trying to sell AI to ICE to help them with their recruitment efforts and target and kidnap more of people from our communities. So, you know, I think that's what's going on there. And we do believe the threat is imminent, and that's why we're getting prepared.
Jane, we're going to get into before we leave, we'll talk about what the day one plans are. I want to provide a little bit more context because I do think it's important, right? Context informs organizing strategy. Unlike Chicago, I don't know if you caught it. I was talking to, that's the first organizer I had on. The community groups are in good relationship with the mayor. I mean, the mayor was out there in the street with my brother, Chairman Fred Hampton Jr., holding up the renaming sign of the street after Chairman Sr. This dialogue, this conversation, right? They're clear that they're in two separate places and at some point strategy may have to diverge, but they are in conversation. I don't think that's true in Oakland. And it's showing true in San Francisco. What do you think that means for a Trump invasion when you've got a conservative, some like me, but they call me dramatic, might even call him a right-leaning mayor of San Francisco. What do you think that means for the people and what has his response to ICE, right, or the protests against ICE, Lurie's response, tell you about what to expect from Lurie's administration when this happened?
Well, he certainly hasn't been as vocal as, you know, the community would hope. It's super significant that yesterday he did come out publicly for the first time and say that we don't want troops in San Francisco. So that's a big step. We support that. You know, we're certainly happy to see that happening finally. And we're hopeful that the values of the Bay Area and the values of San Francisco will shine through and that, you know, we can hold the city government accountable. You know, San Francisco has been one of the earliest and strongest sanctuary cities. We have one of the strongest sanctuary policies in the country. And so we are really hopeful that the city will stay true to that commitment, that local police will not collaborate with ICE in any way, and will not support kidnapping, will protect the free speech and the civil rights of those brave folks who are going to go out and document whatever happens with this federal invasion that's coming. Because we know that's a super important role, to have people out on the streets, you know, observing and in solidarity with their neighbors and the immigrant communities and all the targeted communities. So we're hopeful that the San Francisco police will follow their protocols and will follow city policy. That's certainly what we're hoping for.
Hopeful or optimistic?
And, you know, that's our job as a movement, is to make sure that happens, right? And to hold our city officials accountable and to keep pushing for that.
What's the role of tech in this moment, Jane? I mean, I know that tech has been, you know, a target, right? But a lot of the corporations that we have, San Francisco adjacent, are actually complicit in supporting parts, technology, actual equipment, right, for the increased surveillance that we've seen in immigrant communities in relationship actually with the IDF, sharing information and technology, what we're seeing in Palestine, we're seeing in immigrant communities in the United States. What's the demand of tech in this moment?
Well, that's the other role that we have as a movement, I think, in the Bay Area and California, is to take the fight to them. You look at that inauguration picture, right? It's all the heads of all the biggest tech corporations, which are all based right here. Many of them live right here. Palantir, as folks know, right, is this horrendous data company that's sharing information with ICE, that's making all this targeting possible, that made it possible to target Palestinians sleeping in their beds at home. Palantir, the campaign against Palantir is one that we've been supporting and need to continue fighting. We need to make sure that none of our local governments are contracting with Palantir, sharing information with them in any way. And we need to take this fight to the rest of the tech corporations. I do think that divisions within those oligarchs are important, and they're important for us to exploit. So it was really significant that Ron Conway, who we really rarely agree with about anything, came out and called Benioff to account and quit his board. I mean, that's very significant. And we do need to make room in this sort of broader united front against fascism for those that are going to defect, right? And certainly folks who are working for these big companies, there's so many of tech workers across the Bay who don't agree with fascism and don't agree with these attacks on the immigrant community. And we need to welcome those folks into our movement as well to hold, you know, the corporations accountable with us.
Now, that's the kind of organizing talk that gets me excited. Strategic, the principles of extraction, right? We do not have time for purity politics in this moment. No permanent enemies, no permanent friends. Who's going to help us get to where we're trying to go right now? All right, Jay Martin, if you and I get off this interview and the feds land in San Francisco, what's the call to the people?
So we think they're coming. The call is simple. If there is a mass invasion, National Guard or mass raids here in San Francisco, we know he's called out San Francisco as a target. We're going to rally down at the Embarcadero on that first day at 5 o'clock. And we also know that it's an important moment to be visible in our communities and to grow our movement. So then the following day, we're going to be doing vigils, ICE out of the Bay. You know, we keep us safe, vigils at libraries in your local neighborhood. And that's what we're inviting everyone to join us in those mobilizations. You can read more about it on our website, which is bayresistance.org. The other important things is for us to get organized ahead of time, right? And so there's many ways to do that. Find your local organization. If you don't have an organization, you're welcome to join Bay Resistance Action Pod. You can sign up again on our website, bayresistance.org. And we're also encouraging people to participate in the Adopt a Corner program in solidarity with day laborers and other immigrant communities that are out on the street and that are vulnerable and need, you know, solidarity, presence, eyes and ears on the corner there with them. And you can find out about that at our website or at Endelon as well, the National Day Labor Organizing Network.
Say the name of your website one more again, and we'll link to it to the archive from the show.
BayResistance.org.
All right, my G, I'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much for joining this morning.
Much, Kat. Appreciate it.
You've been listening to Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. That's it for this episode, family. You can find more information about topics and guests in this episode's show notes. Law and Disorder is produced at KPFA. That's listener-supported radio on the Pacifica Network. The show is produced by Jesse Strauss and hosted by me, Kat Brooks. Our theme music was composed by Steve Raskin of Fort Knox 5. If you like what you heard, please follow us on social media at Law and Dis, that's D-I-S, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Feel free to holler at us about something you heard or send us a show idea at lawanddisorder@kpfa.org. You can also find our content live at 8 a.m. weekdays on KPFA. That's 94.1 FM in the Bay Area. Our show and all of KPFA's programs are funded exclusively by you, the listener. And if you're in a position to support us, please donate today at kpfa.org. Take care of yourself and take care of each other. We all we got, fam.